to Day FM's Last Word on Business with Capital Flow. Purchasing, refinancing, or refurbishing an investment property? Visit capitalflow.ie.
It's time for your business news now with Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post. And we'll start off, Ian, with news that Weston Airport in Dublin has been bought by a group of investors. One of them is a very well-known household name from Limerick.
Yeah, good evening, Frank. And I suppose you could say that he is Ireland's richest man, or himself and his brother are Ireland's richest men. It is John Collison, the co-founder of the global payments company Stripe. And he, along with a number of other what are called like-minded aviation enthusiasts, have bought a majority stake in Weston Airport. He, along with Derek Walsh, who's also from Limerick, and a number of other people, including John Brennan, Catherine Green and Gerald Dundon, have bought a majority stake from the existing owner of Weston Airport, Brian Keneally. Weston has been, it's been up and running for well over 80 years at this stage. Most, I suppose, best-known owner of it was Jim Mansfield, but it was bought by Brian Keneally a number of years ago. And the consortium today that have taken this majority stake say they plan to upgrade the facilities at Weston and turn it into a state-of-the-art aviation centre. A lot of people speculating that perhaps they could turn it into something like London City Airport, which was transformed in the 1980s from just an airstrip, and it's one of now the biggest airports in the United Kingdom. And in particular, it's a centre for lots of business passengers passing through the City of London, but also very well known for private jets. So perhaps this could be the start of turning Weston Airport into something like that too. And you would have to say there could be a need for it as well, because Dublin Airport, prior to the pandemic, we know they were upgrading their facilities to add another runway because there was quite a lot of congestion out there. So perhaps in the years to come, this could be the start of a major investment in turning it into a second airport for Dublin.
Very interesting to see John Collison involved. You know, he's not shy of a few bob. He certainly has the golden touch, and he definitely sees potential in it if he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, and it should be said, he is an aviation enthusiast. He has flown across the Atlantic as well in small jets. So he is somebody who's got an interest in the area. We know that the Collison brothers are investing in Ireland. Apart from the jobs that Stripe are bringing to Ireland over the next couple of years, they have been investing in education courses at the University of Limerick. And like many people, perhaps see bringing different things to Ireland. So if you don't just have, if you bring companies here, you of course have to get people in and out of Ireland, and perhaps people in the technology area, perhaps investors, perhaps they want to come through a private airport as well. But it is an interesting investment at a time when many of the regional airports, and I know Weston is not a commercial airport like the likes of Knock and the likes of Waterford and Kerry, but at a time when aviation is under pressure, here are a group of people who have come together and put money into this facility and have plans for the future. So I think an awful lot of people who are employed in the airport and are employed locally helping the airport will welcome this news. And it should be said as well, this story broken by Tom Lyons and The Currency to give them their dues this morning.
Credit where credit is due. Let's move on then, because it's been a good news day for Bank of Ireland, hasn't it? First half profit of 465 million euro. What are they putting down that 72% increase in profits to?
Yeah, and I think if you go back to the first half of last year, the banks were under an awful lot of pressure because there had been a concern given the hit by COVID-19 to the economy, with so many people out of work and the prospect of businesses going to the wall, that the banks would suffer. So all of the banks set aside an awful lot of money for potential losses. In Bank of Ireland's case in 2020, it put aside well over 900 million euro for potential losses. Those losses have not been repeated. We know the economy is bouncing back. So Bank of Ireland's profits today, because they didn't put aside, they only had to put aside 1 million euro for potential losses. Bank's profits coming in at 465 million euro. Interesting, Bank of Ireland pointing out that if you look at that operating profit for the first 6 months of 2021 and compare it for the first 6 months of 2019, so pre-COVID days, it's actually up by 7%. They do report an increase in new lending up by just over 12%. Interest income is up, and business income is it's doing okay compared to previous years. Also, the bank has benefited from the fact that it, like many other Irish banks, have been cutting their costs over the past number of years.
I was just going to ask you about that, because it does seem that Bank of Ireland have figured out how to cut their cloth accordingly. And its CEO, Francesca McDonagh, said today that they've maintained what she described as a laser-like focus on costs.
Yeah, if you look at the number of full-time employees at Bank of Ireland, it's down by 11% compared to the previous year. So just about 1,000 people fewer employed by the bank. We do know it has been offering voluntary redundancy to staff over the last number of months, and it has been cutting costs in other areas as well. It invested heavily in its IT system. So a lot of the process of going online and getting a loan, it's all done online. So you need fewer people and you can save money. Interesting as well, the fact that Bank of Ireland reporting, as I said, lending has increased, and they're talking about the fact that over the next couple of months, over the rest of 2021, they see lending and the rest of the business improving compared to where it was in 2020. And also they will benefit from the fact that they are making a number of investments, acquiring Davy Stockbrokers. That was announced just a couple of weeks ago, and they are in the process of buying the majority of the loan book, or the good loan book, of KBC Bank, which are exiting Ireland in the next year or so. So all of that will help Bank of Ireland, which is good news for taxpayers. We owned at the start of today just under 14% of the bank, and the Department of Finance has announced in the recent weeks that they are selling down that stake and began that process today. So the state has sold just under 1% of that Bank of Ireland share. So we now own just about 13% of Bank of Ireland. The share price has recovered over the past year, and the state taking advantage of that to get out of some of those shares.
Okay, let's move on then, because something that doesn't sound like good news on the face of it for taxpayers is coming out of the back of this new report that was commissioned by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. It says RTE is facing major restructuring if its financial future isn't addressed. It says it's facing an existential crisis and acute financial problems. Doesn't make for good reading, does it?
It doesn't. And RTE's finances have been under pressure for the last number of years. The fact that is that there are fewer people taking out the licence fee because many people are not watching TV. They don't have a box in the corner. They use their laptop, they use their iPad, their phones. We know there's an awful lot of people don't want to pay the licence fee as well, that there is an evasion issue. RTE's finances have been hit over the past year by the fact that COVID has had an impact. And this report is carried out by consultants called Mediateek for the BAI, warned that RTE requires a fundamental change into how it's financed. RTE, of course, wants the licence fee changed so it can be collected easier. I have to say, Frank, and I not just because I'm talking to you on Today FM, but I do take a bit of an issue with some of the things said in this report today. And a full disclosure, I previously worked in commercial broadcasting myself, and you see what the report today says. Well, if we don't give RTE this extra money, they say that there is that if we want to have continued investment in Indigenous public service broadcasting with sustainable commitment to news, we have to give long-term reform the licence fee and a short-term lifeline in the interim. Now, Frank, I would argue that there are other broadcasters out there, including Today FM, News Talk, Virgin Media and the newspaper sector, that are doing public service news and that we just don't rely on RTE for it. But what this report is saying that we need to give RTE a bailout in the short term to help its finances, and in the longer term, we need to address the licence fee. The government have previously said they will look at a broadcasting charge. Frank, I would argue that it's not just RTE that should be getting money out of it. I would argue that commercial broadcasters do an excellent job of providing news and current affairs and always have done. And you could argue that the newspaper sector websites out there like The Journal and other websites also do public sector public service broadcasting and news, and should, if there's going to be any changes to that, get a piece of that pie as well. So not all of it should go to RTE. And that report saying today that RTE, even if it does get a lifeline, even if it does get a bailout or changes to the licence fee, it will still need to cut its costs because there is going to be some time before commercial revenues and advertising recovers.
Yeah, and just on TG Cahir as well, the consultants found that the station has been able to live within its means with the public funding it receives each year, although the funding, it says, is not adequate. We just have a minute or two to go in, and I'll just ask you very quickly then about the likelihood of consumers potentially seeing a reduction of sorts in their electricity bills from October.
If it is, you're barely going to notice it. So the energy regulator today announced that it's cutting the public service obligation levy on bills. It will save you, if you're a domestic customer, you will save. It was, the public service levy was 6.52 every month last year. It will fall to €4.30 later on this year. So saving you a grand total of €25, or just about. Of course, anybody will have seen all the energy companies have increased their bills, and the price comparison website bonkers.ie says the average bill has gone up by around £300, or will be going up by around £300. So don't spend all those savings at once.
Okay, Ian Guider, as always, thank you very much for that. Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post.